views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really excited about our guests. We have actually two guests today, life partners and work partners, Dr. Sheila Collins and Richard Citrin. I'm going to introduce both of them, and then we'll dive right into the show. And our topic today is the gift and the power of resilience. And we're going to be exploring that from a couple of different perspectives. So Dr. Sheila Collins is an author, keynote speaker, an improvisational artist and performer. Her award-winning book, Mother Warrior, Fierce Love, Unbearable Loss, and the Rituals That Heal, tells of her journeys with two of her three adult children and her best friend through their life-threatening illnesses and deaths. Using her background as a social worker professor, therapist, healthcare executive, and performance artist, Dr. Collins demonstrates in her presentations, workshops, and consultations how art-based tools have helped her and can help other individuals and organizations get through their toughest challenges. Sheila currently directs an improvisational troupe, Wing and a Prayer Pittsburgh Players, that assist nonprofits in achieving their noble purpose. Richard Citrin, PhD and MBA, is an organizational and consulting psychologist whose career has included being an entrepreneur, healthcare executive, and now a consultant helping organizations improve the performance of their employees, including their senior leaders. He recently published a book, The Resilience Advantage, that discusses the ways that organizations can create a culture that moves away from the blaming mentality of stress management to an empowering mindset of resilience. Richard has served as a leadership and strategic consultant for PNC Bank, PPG Industries, American Airlines, Goodyear Tire, and the University of Pittsburgh, among many other corporate, nonprofit, and governmental organizations. Richard's weekly blog, Resilient Wednesday, is read by thousands of readers, and you can find it on his website, which he'll share with us a little bit later in the show. Welcome, Sheila, and welcome, Richard.
Hi, Claudette.
Hello.
Great to be with you.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, so glad you're here. Been looking forward to this. It's fun. It's fun to have not only one guest, but two guests, right? So this will be a really interesting conversation. Yeah. One thing that's really interesting about the two of you is you're not only life partners, but you're often work partners. And you're also interested in organizational culture. So I'm curious to find out, you know, how did you get into organizational culture? And also, what caused you to start working together professionally?
Well, I think it started, as soon as we met over cinnamon rolls during graduate school in Lincoln, Nebraska, I think that's where it started. And we found a lot of common in our work. We used to go to a place where, when we first started dating, we used to go to a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant that didn't open until 11 o'clock in the evening and had the most outrageous cinnamon rolls. So it was, of course, those are off the eating program today, but back then, we were top of the list. And over the years, we were very interested in ways to create cultures where people could come together as healthcare professionals. Myself as a psychologist, and as you said, Sheila, as a social worker, we were very interested in not only our service to our clients and patients, but also about how we could create a workplace environment that was healing. And several years down the road, after we got our degrees and got settled in Fort Worth, Texas, we decided to open up a behavioral health care clinic that was a group practice, which was very unusual back in those days and still is. Quite honestly, most behavioral health care is done by solo practitioners and offices by themselves, whether it's psychologists or psychiatrists. And we created a group organization, a group model back in the 1980s and 90s that focused on creating a culture that worked well for the patients and clients as well as for the providers.
Yes. I, as you mentioned, my focus initially was I was a dancer before I became a social worker. So I now consider myself a dancing social worker. But
that's great.
We add to whatever we used to do or whatever and bring it along. So when we got to the place where we were having a clinic or an organization, we really focused a lot on how do we become a we, how do we support one another. It's very sometimes treacherous work. It's very difficult work. And so to have the name of it was Iatria Institute for the Healing Arts. And in the term Iatria is came out of the
out of Greece, ancient Greece. It's a Greek word.
Yeah.
That means healing places.
And in history, they were circuit riders. The healers went from town to town, and then, but then they established Iatria, and people came to them. So that was what we kind of had as our, image for how we wanted it to be.
And we offered, very unusual things for our clients, not just traditional psychotherapy, but Sheila, of course, did movement therapy with people. We had we offered yoga classes. We had breath classes that we worked on. We offered 12-step programs where 12-step people could come in and use our space for our patients. And for our clinicians, we offered things like all open book management. So we shared openly what our financials were, engaged them in problem solving around how to create success as business people and not just as clinicians, which is often a challenge for healthcare providers who are so focused on helping. And it was a very powerful model. But we learned, as you know, Claudette, no doubt your listeners do, as Peter Drucker said, culture eats strategy for lunch. And we had this strategy about creating a healthy workplace for everyone. But as the first generation of managed healthcare came in and directed how healthcare had to be delivered, so many sessions, reimbursements went down. We had more and more paperwork to do behind the clinical work. It became very difficult to create that kind of healthy culture. And although we were able to keep our business going for 12 years before we sold it, the last 5 years were very, very challenging, and nobody was really happy. And that was part of the first generation of healthcare transformation. And we recognized that we needed to make some changes in our professional work and lifestyle. I hadn't gotten my MBA yet, but I knew that a business model where you're getting more work but paying less money was not a model for success, but a model for bankruptcy.
I tried to explain to him he was going to that this was his MBA. If we could get this to work at all, that would be better than an MBA. But I didn't really convince him of it.
Right.
These are the challenges that still, of course, are going on in healthcare.
Now it's the medical side that's having their fun.
Fortunately, we were able to transition out of that work and move more into corporate healthcare and now into consulting in our work. And for Sheila, of course, speaking and writing.
One of the things that strikes, thanks for sharing that story. One of the things that strikes me about it is how you were, until, managed care came in and all of that you described, you were really able to create an environment that worked, like you said, worked for your patients and worked for the people that worked in the organization, right? In the center. So it seemed like it was a real manifestation of a vision that you both had.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But one of the things you always have to be careful, some of your dreams can turn into nightmares. So there was, it got tougher and tougher to do, but not from our fault or the fault of the people we were working with, but the system was changing.
The system was changing. Yeah. Yeah. And often we're in that situation, aren't we, where something, an external system changes and we have to figure out how to adapt to it, right, or move out of it. It sounds like that's really what happened.
Well, yeah. I think what we're seeing today is that's happening even faster and faster.
That's what it is, too. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, we were purchased and then they were purchased. And so we went through the kind of things you go through when the culture really does change, when new people come in. And
our practice was acquired by a national healthcare company that was looking to aggregate behavioral healthcare clinics. And Sheila, I remember vividly the first day that our new owner came in and walked in the door and said, "Now this is all mine." And we thought, that's probably not a good model given what we've been trying to create in the organization. And subsequently, the model had some significant problems and flaws to it. So eventually, that company was acquired by Humana Healthcare as a health and wellness program, and it turned out to be very successful for all of us. But those transitions around acquisitions is another great opportunity to study and understand culture and how critical it is to create not only healthy but business effective models for everybody who's involved.
Yeah, you have to have both the business and the health. What did you look at? What did you learn about organizational culture from those? It sounds like fairly dramatic experiences of having someone walk in and say, "Now this is all mine." Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think there were two learnings. You know, one learning was, professionally, which was, this is very important, and we were onto something very special when we created the culture, our understanding of culture. From the very beginning, without really just building a business on our own, we were really on target professionally. Mm-hmm. I think personally, we realized that organizations are very toxic places to be, and you have to be very careful about how you preserve and protect your energy. And that's why that, I think, led us down this path towards resilience and at how you manage your energy. I like to say that I don't talk to people about managing time. I talk to them about managing energy. Energy that gets work done. And if you're in an environment that's draining your energy, that the culture is not effective and is misrepresented, then, it's going to go beyond burnout to despair in situations. And you have to be very cognizant of those aspects.
Absolutely. And great lessons to take away. And I think especially that piece around presence, protecting your energy, right? And presencing it and understanding how the external energy is impacting your, internal energy. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to move into talking about both of your books, which are so interesting. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about Rich and Sheila's books. Stay tuned.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, I have two guests today, Richard Citron and Sheila Collins, who are life partners and work partners. And we have been talking about organizational culture and the role of that resilience plays. And Rich and Sheila, both of you have written really, really interesting books, and I've enjoyed looking at them and learning more about them. Rich, I'd love to talk about a little bit about your book first, The Resilience Advantage. Tell us a little bit about that book and how it came about.
Well, I think it, you know, as I discussed earlier about the organizational work that we did for our own business, that kind of got me thinking about resilience. And as a psychologist, Claudette, I used to do a lot of programs on stress management. And I had a situation where I did it for a group of medical students, and I did the relaxation exercises that you always have at stress management programs, and pretty soon about half the class fell asleep.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I've got a future here as a sleep therapist, probably.
Right, yeah.
When they woke up, what these medical students told me was that their work is so overwhelming that there's no way to manage their stress. And that got me thinking about the notion of whether or not we really manage stress. And what I came to see was that we don't manage stress, that stress, like, as gravity is a physical imperative, you don't manage gravity. If you jump up, come back down. Stress is the same way. You don't manage stress. It's a biological imperative. So we have to kind of embrace our stress and understand that it's a natural phenomenon that's going to happen. But the real breakthrough for me with this was after 9/11, and we were living in Fort Worth, Texas. That's where we had sold our business, and we're still there. And we received a call from American Airlines on 9/11 that Tuesday afternoon, asking us if we could bring a group of clinicians down to do some debriefings with their call center staff, who had been obviously inundated that entire day. As you may remember, American lost two planes.
Right.
11, one to the towers and one in D.C. And so our staff went there that night, and for about the next 3 months, we went there. And during the course of that time, where we met with call center staff, leadership, pilots, flight attendants, ramp agents, ticket managers, and everyone else, what we saw was that people took a certain attitude, despite their, or because of their despair, perhaps. And I tell the story in my book about Susan, a flight attendant who I met about a week after 9/11, who was supposed to fly to Paris that afternoon, that Tuesday, and she couldn't do it, or she thought she couldn't do it, and she was in the hallway literally crying, and I went over and just sat with her and spoke to her for an hour and a half and listened mostly and shared some ideas and, you know, just let her grieve, is what I would say. And then after about an hour and a half, she got up and gave me a hug and said, okay, I got to do this. And she went. And I recognized that there was some unique quality that was, and came to recognize, of course, that that was resilience. But it was more than just the idea that people think about resilience as bouncing back. But what happened for Susan was that she bounced forward. She learned from her experience, and she took it beyond that framework to see that she could create something more than what she was even capable of creating. And so subsequent to that, I really built out this resilience model that I call the resilience advantage that talks about resilience as being more than just this idea of bouncing back, but really has to do with how we plan for potentially stressful and challenging events, how we navigate them in real time. You know, what do we do when we're in the middle of a stressful event, and how do we handle that with some measure of grace? And then finally, again, this bounce forward component. And it's interesting writing a book about this because people would ask me, you know, writing a book is so stressful and challenging. And how did you do that? And what was your plan? And oh my gosh, that must have been horrible. And I said, you know, I was writing a book about resilience and how to do my stress with some grace, and decided if I couldn't write the book in that spirit, then why am I writing the book?
Exactly.
I was planful about it. I had 60,000 words. I had 180 days. That was 300 words a day. And, you know, I wrote 300 words a day. But some days I wrote 900, and some were days I wrote 600. And so I was finished a month ahead of time.
Wow.
The book kind of highlights these themes. And what I've seen is that the book's been very well received by people because it's so endemic to the workplace, you know, this issue of stress and how we deal with the challenges in the workplace are so significant right now that it's a topic that people are, you know, unfortunately dying to talk about. And so I've really had a chance to bring that into the fold in relationship to the culture of the workplace. And I think today we're seeing a great deal around cultural shifts. You know, we talk about generations, and it's interesting. Sheila just told me the other day she's going to stop referring to the older generation as boomers or beyond or seniors, and is going to start referring to them as perennials, which I love.
Oh, so nice.
Now we have millennials and perennials.
Right.
You know, when we talk about these multiple generations and their different perspectives, you know, resilience is a common theme because I don't care if you're, you know, 66 or 26, you're dealing with the same challenges in the workplace, and we need strategies to help us deal with those more effectively.
And one thing I really liked about your book and your model is a lot of organizations I go into as a cultural consultant think about being resilient as like, how much can I take, right? So how much can you put on my shoulders and how much can I absorb and take? And which of course is not a healthy way to be. And you're talking about resilience in a completely different way that I really love.
That particular model, in fact, is what I get from people when they critique my approach. And what they say is, you know, what some organizations do around resilience is to say, you can do more. Come on, you can do more. You can handle this. Mm-hmm. And I honestly say that that's an abuse of resilience.
Yeah.
That's not what resilience is about. The truth is, generally, we can perform more in terms of both intensity and duration because we invoke grit. We invoke, you know, kind of a stick-to-itiveness. However, people have their limits. And if we go beyond those limits, the world will start come crashing down. And when you look at organizations you go into that need cultural retraining and cultural retrofitting, oftentimes that's what's happened. So we have to be sensitive to that and make sure we're staying on the plus side of building resilience as a strategy for strength and not a strategy for abuse, if you will.
I completely agree. And I like, you know, that you talk about it as growing with, I'm just looking at a worksheet that you had, I got from Richard and I met for listeners at a conference about a month ago. Right. And I got to attend his workshop. And the research sheet you gave out talks about stress resilience is growing with events that are difficult, you know, part of the bouncing forward. And I love that idea that we can grow with events that are difficult. We don't have to think it's always something we have to recover from. And I think it's such an important distinction that you're really putting out there.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. And I think it has to do in part with, again, this stress management model. And I told the story, you might remember, that when I was a kid, I said to my mother, maybe I'll be president of the United States one day. She said, oh, my God, no, that's such a stressful job. Yes, but the conversation is, the message is, and there certainly are some merits to that, but the truth is we're built for challenges. We're not built for easy. We're not built for, even people who are very successful. I was listening to a radio show this morning, and there was some guy who's on CNBC, some fellow who had retired twice, a very successful CEO, and he came to say, I have more to do. I'm not ready to quit quite yet. So there's always that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Sheila, shifting gears a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about your book, Warrior Mother. And I know that comes from some really difficult challenges you and Rich have had in your lives about supporting two of your three children through illnesses and deaths. And it sounds like I was reading part of your book last night and just was so, I should have you speak to it actually. And just tell us a little bit more about the book and the really important messages around resilience in it.
Well, that's the case. I think that, if you look at the resilience the original research, what comes out so strongly is how people make it through is something to do with support. Mm. So, if I'm by myself and I'm going through something, I'll get to my finish or my edge pretty soon. But if I have other people involved with me, that are holding me up at times, which is what I really had. When we were selling our clinic, at the same time that we were selling the clinic, we had a son who was dying of AIDS. And even the man who purchased our clinic, he said, Sheila, so many losses, so close together. And that's the way it comes sometimes. We'd like to say, okay, now we did, my mother died, so now I have a free ride for a while, but not necessarily. That isn't the way it works. And so I began to look very carefully at what was it that made it different for us, because I feel like it was different for us. And of course it is different when you're on the other side. If you're a social worker, being the professional, that's one thing. If you're the mom of the patient, that's another challenge, another thing altogether. So I felt like I had a lot by that time. So I just didn't go back to doing my social work when we came to Pittsburgh, but I focused on writing and going deeper into the grief in a way, but to find out what was it that made the difference. And those are the stories that I come up with. And now I'm working on a book called The Art of Grieving. And so because I think I've pulled out what are the really, and some of it, it's thanks to Rich's work too, what is it that makes it so, one person who has a difficult tragedy and they do very well and someone else doesn't. And what are the variables that make that difference?
Absolutely. That's such an important distinction, right? And one thing I noticed in your book when I watched your TED talk was the gifts that can come out of these kinds of experiences, even though they must be unbelievably challenging. But to be able to pull out the gifts and the resilience and I love the art of grieving, which leads us, even with that title, to believe that there's some choice in how we do it.
Well, and we have to stop acting like we're not going to do it. We're somehow you're going to get away without doing it. What?
Right, right. We can't skip it.
You're not going to skip it. So if you're going to, and you're going to do it episodically all your life.
Right.
So, it's like waves that come at you and then it's calm and then there's another wave. And, the waves can come strong enough and frequently enough that you'll go under. That's just the way it is. But we can be there for one another. And by the way, I'm now very interested in what happens in the workplace, because people in the workplace are people and they're having their own losses and difficulties. And then they may be having some issues in the workplace, that their boss has, gone on and now what, or we are being purchased or we're merging with somebody, So, So it's really layers of challenge. So we better get good at this grieving, letting go of our losses and finding the gifts in them.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said. And we're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back, let's explore this a little bit more because I love this topic. So we are on, this is Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guests, Sheila Collins and Ruth Citrin. And stay tuned. We will be right back.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Are you ready to make deep, lasting, transformative changes? Then tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio for Susanna Jameson's hit show, Love, Light, Sound Radio. During her show, Susanna inspires and supports spiritually and health-conscious individuals all over the world to reconnect with their heart, their inner peace, and balance. Love, Light, Sound Radio. Transformation happens here now. For more information, visit SusannaJameson.com.
Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, we are talking about the gifts of resilience today with Sheila Collins and Richard Citrin. And Sheila and Richard, I'd love to have both of you share with listeners how can they reach you? How can they learn about your books and your work?
Well, easy enough. You just go to your local internet browser, and my website is Citrin Consulting. That's C-I-T-R-I-N Consulting. Or if you just Google my name, Richard Citrin, you'll certainly have that. The book Resilience Advantage is available on Amazon, so you can certainly take a look at it there. And my website has a lot of information on it. There's discussions, radio shows like yours, Claudette. I'll certainly be adding yours as well to my resources. So I try to make a lot of resources available for clients. And I think that creates good value, which is an important part of my work as we move ahead.
Yeah,
great. Thank you.
Yeah, my website is my name, www.sheilakcollins.com. You have to have the K in there. And my book is available on Amazon also and also on my website. I have a new book that's going to be coming out in about a month, which I didn't think I even mentioned because I didn't think it would be ready, but it looks like it might be in about a month. It's actually the redoing of an old book. And so that was quite a challenge, but I got one of my former students to help me with it, to update the research. She was a little more on top of that than I was at the time. So that book is called Still Point, A Self-Care Playbook for Caregivers to Find Ease, Time to Breathe, and Reclaim Joy. So so many more caregivers, in fact, than when I first wrote the book. So it's become, you know, probably everybody knows somebody who's taking care of someone else. usually an adult, you know, not just children. So it's something we have to learn how to do, and again, not do ourselves in with it. So then my other book, as you mentioned, is Warrior Mother, Fierce Love, Unbearable Loss, and the Rituals That Heal. That one is available at Amazon.
Great. Thank you so much. And thanks for mentioning the revised version, updated version of Still Point. I agree. Wow. Caregivers really need so much support and help for the work that they do. Absolutely. So thank you for that. So one of the things before we went to break, we were talking about was how your work, Sheila, with the writing you've done and your work as a social worker and a dancer has also led you to be really interested in how grief and loss plays out in organizations. Like you were saying with, you know, a merger, acquisition, a layoff, like all the things that organizations go through. And I'm curious, have you started to bring your work into more of the corporate arena?
Well, it's very interesting, Claudette. A project I'm working on right now is just totally perfect for me. I am working with a group of sisters, of sisters. If you know anything about sisters at all, you know that they're older. Their organizations are getting smaller as they have many losses. Yet they're still vibrant women who want to keep going, you know. So they were interested in the art of grieving and to bring some art to it. So I use a lot of art-based tools because that changes the culture immediately, you know. Mm-hmm. When you sing something, it's very different than when you say it, or when we have these improvisational tools that we use that limit what you can say. So it focuses you very quickly, and it just makes the conversation very different than it would be if you just said to people, well, let me give you 5 minutes to talk about this, you know. So, and it's more fun too.
Yeah, right. And it's more fun.
It is.
I bet it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that sounds like a really fascinating project.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Working with the sisters. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you don't necessarily think of that group as an organizational, you know, as kind of a business organization.
But it's
been interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's a global group of women. So Sheila's been Skyping with them, you know, all around the world to find out, you know, what their perceptions are and how to address, you know, the different challenges. So, you know, again, it's an organizational culture just like any other.
Well, except I think it's a special one because one of the ways that you change culture is ritual. One of the ways you deal with grief is ritual. And so creating ritual, and most people don't know that or they think they don't know how to do it, but I just feel like I have gotten into this group of women who ritual is their middle name. They really know that. So between what they know and some of the art tools, we're just having a great time. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, right? Ritual is their middle name and they're a business organization. So how fascinating to look at them from all these different, all these different perspectives.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm curious. I know, Sheila, you call yourself a dancing social worker, you mentioned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how does that play out when you're working with an organization?
Well, when you're in graduate school or when you, I taught at the university and, you know, everybody's just a brain and the body's supposed to just be getting you from class to class, I think. So you get people immediately in their bodies because when you're in your body, everything you know becomes available to you.
Mm.
And so I just use a lot of tools that that I've learned from my theater background and also my improv background. But I think mainly it is that full-bodied, wholeheartedness that comes from that children have and that we have, but we sometimes, you know, forget we have.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when you talked about how when you're in your body, everything's available to you. And sometimes in organizations, I don't approach my work the same way you do, but I'll even have, you know, a team or a group of people even, you know, notice like, what's the energy like in this room? What does it feel like to be in here?
Right.
And for some people, it's not, that's not even something they even consider or think about, you know?
Exactly.
That's even new. Yeah.
Exactly.
To even go there. And Rich, I was curious when you're, you know, I know you go into organizations a lot as well and do a lot of coaching. What are some of the things that when you're working with leaders, is there a particular way that are they embracing how you think about resilience? Do you run into, or are you running into some resistance around it? I'm just curious what your experience has been like.
No resilience. It's really about how to disseminate the information effectively. I think the challenge is that because resilience has a relationship to workload, things like workload management or change management or even failure management, it's always a little challenging to make sure that I get their attention and they see this as a theme. I think generally what happens is when we talk about workload management, for example, everybody knows it's a big issue, but because no one has a strategy for dealing with it, they tend to want to avoid it. It's the same thing around, you know, change management, and you know this, Claudette. Oftentimes you may not get called in on the front end. You may get called in after there's trouble and they see that there's challenges that they're dealing with. I'm doing a cultural change management for an organization right now, and they've been having all kinds of difficulties. And finally, the board threw up their hands and said, hey, we need to look at what our culture is and consider whether that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, many organizations, not many, some organizations I'm working with now are recognizing these challenges and are building them into their leadership competencies. So
mm-hmm.
we're organizations that are now addressing specifically things like resilience, or they're saying that their leaders have to be able to help their employees understand and deal with their stress of workload more effectively. But most organizations aren't. I am fortunate to work with a few, I think, enlightened organizations that have that perspective, but pretty much everybody knows it's out there. And I think the question is not just focusing on resilience as a singular strategy, but really looking at the bigger picture of culture and how
mm-hmm.
to shift the culture so that we're respecting our not just our employees, but also customers and vendors and everyone else that we have to work effectively with. Because today you can't just push people around. Well, I guess some people can push people around.
Right.
Not only I want to particularly work with. So I make that distinction because there's too much afoot around respect and dignity for people. That's the world I want to live in. And in order to do that, we have to help people to understand how to deal with these changes effectively. But they're going everywhere. I was just with a company a little bit ago interviewing some senior leaders. And one of the fellows mentioned that, you know, the company's getting ready to roll out a major sales transformation model. And I said, you know, is this public? He said, no, we're working with a communications company to build our communications plan. And I was thinking to myself, you need more than a communications plan for this.
Yes.
This is not my purview of what I'm consulting with them about. However, it's going to show up in my report that several people have talked about this sales transformation they're quite concerned about. How, you know, what's our big picture strategy for dealing with it?
Yeah, great point. Yeah, it's not just a communication plan, or my favorite, which is, oh, we'll just email everybody and let them know.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they just, you know, they know that there's something that they have to do beyond that. They just don't know what it is. And despite all that you could see around culture, people still don't think of it as a strategy for addressing change,
Yeah, not like you said, a few companies do, but many, you know, or the ones we hear in the news, like Google and, you know, folks like that.
Right.
But yeah, the average company hasn't made the connection yet. Definitely hasn't made the connection yet.
Yes.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this gift of resilience and move into how you can start applying this either into your personal life or your work life or both. This is Claudette Rowley on Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah. gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Tap into the wisdom of animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Tune in monthly as Darcy brings insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and pureness of ancient techniques, Darcy, healer, animal communicator, and medium, is here to guide you through this process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are back on Cultural Brilliance Radio with my guests today, Richard Citrin and Sheila Collins. We have been talking about all the different gifts of resilience, both in the workplace and personally, in our personal lives and family lives. So one thing on break, I was just saying to both of you, I always love to ask guests, you know, what they would recommend, you know, if it, you know, and we're so lucky today because we get to have recommendations from two different perspectives, right? The organizational perspective and then more of the personal perspective around resilience and grief. When you're working with folks, what are a couple of things that you each generally share, you know, when people ask for tips and recommendations?
Well, when you said that, I think about what is it that I need. So one of my favorite things I keep reminding myself of is step away from the screen. Step away from the screen because
right.
I think that in my situation, and I think in a lot of people's situation, we do too much of the same thing for too long. So, you know, take a stand up, stretch. This is where being a dancer helps a little. I know that, you know, I have to take care of my body or take a walk around the office or down the stairs or something.
We recently got a standing desk for our office that has a cool feature that you can raise and lower. I guess they all do. Has a raise and lower it. So sometimes we can sit, but much of the time we're standing now. And so that provides a little bit of physical activity to do, which is great. So the physical activity part is really critical. I think, you know, for me, building resilience is not about building resilience. So I always tell people, you're not going to build your resilience. You're actually going to strengthen it. But resilience is hardwired into us. It's part of that biological response that we have to challenges, which is that we want to do better. A great part of the resilience model that we talk about is really about what the self-talk is that you do. Mm-hmm. How you tell yourself what your capacity and capability is, and how you focus on that self-talk. And that's what really builds, what I refer to as a powerful mindset for yourself. And it's really all about the mindset around resilience and how you think about the challenges that you're having. And if you think of them as something that's miserable and terrible, then then guess what? Things are miserable and terrible. But if you think about them instead in terms of a challenge or a gift, as Sheila says, then it really begins to change the perspective for you. And that's a very clear aspect of the research on resilience, which is if in the workplace you see things as challenges and opportunities for growth, then it becomes much more transformational for you. And I always tell leaders that if you're working with employees, this is what I call free information. If you're working with employees and they're not engaged, they don't care, that's an idea of, what you're getting from that individual and what what their potential is. If instead they say, I'm up for this challenge, I like the idea of doing it, then that's even, that tells you it's even a more powerful employee. Physical activity, stepping away from the screen, what our self-talk is.
Mm-hmm. I think also in the improv world, we look for the good. It's a practice. It's a practice. So you got this thing. It's all complicated. There's a lot of crappy stuff about it, and then there's maybe some good stuff too. So if you focus more on the good stuff, that's going to be. It's going to feel better in your body and your mind, and it's going to be easier to be resilient, or it's the resilient talks about the power of thinking, of being optimistic. I guess that's the term that you all use, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think there's that also. Part of it is that I think the notion of partnership power, the fact that we a lot of us are supposed to just tough it out by ourselves, whether mm-hmm. we're about the difficulties with a caregiver taking care of someone or somebody who's going through an illness or this stuff at work, which, we get this notion that you just tough it out by yourself. But yet the research is very strong about what is it that makes you most resilient. And it is that you have support from other people, and you have support and you give support. So that's a definite cultural thing of culture in some organizations. I've experienced organizations that have a lot of women mm-hmm. who are going to be more likely to or mute support than if it's an all men or a mixed group. But yeah. I don't know for sure. But just I'm kind of an old person, and I've kind of noticed that.
We see that a lot.
Yeah,
we see that a lot. A fourth technique that I like to talk about and you can see this on my website, is where I talk about the idea of hacking your parasympathetic nervous system. So that sounds a little complex, but mm-hmm. your parasympathetic nervous system is the part of you that builds that relaxation response.
Mm-hmm.
Sympathetic nervous system being the part of you that creates the stress response. And so anything that you can do to kind of create a little bit more, as Sheila said, joy and ease in your life, mm-hmm. is good. And that can be as simple as, taking a couple of breaths, doing some breathing exercises, praising others, giving and getting hugs, although you have to make sure you're doing that with loved ones
permission.
And not necessarily in the workplace.
You have permission.
Right.
Permission. Just finding a joke, telling a joke. Mm-hmm. Mindfulness is certainly something that we see. An interesting statistic I ran across related to mindfulness is that people talk about it a lot, but very, very few people really do it. So I'm always respectful about it. And the flip side of mindfulness is really about prayer, which a lot mm-hmm. of people say they do. So being prayerful is very helpful as well for this idea of finding more of the positive and health. And as Sheila said, creating more optimistic points of view and little things that you can do, celebrating other success. Mm-hmm. This is my birthday. Well, this show will run after my birthday. But a few weeks ago on my birthday or during my birthday week, I started a fundraiser for the Women's Center and Shelter here in Pittsburgh. I'm a board member there. And so as part of my birthday celebration, I'm asking people to make a donation to the Women's Center and Shelter. And then my business is going to match the donations that are done. And that's designed to create a little bit of happiness for me in doing something I believe is important, and also giving a chance to my friends and colleagues to make a contribution to something that I know they believe in and bring a little joy in their life as well, I hope.
I love these suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing them. And what strikes me, I was jotting them down as you were talking about them. And what strikes me, everything that both of you mentioned, all has to do with being really good to ourselves, right? Mm. So that's a theme I see. So as opposed to, you know, like that tough it out resilience, which is not the kind of resilience you're talking about, but sometimes is out there, you know, in the world. You actually are talking about we strengthen ourselves by being good to ourselves, right? And looking for the good and being in partnership. And like your great example, Richard, of inviting, you know, others into your celebration, right? By helping others in need. So I love that. Thank you for sharing this. And the self-talk, I think, is really huge. Before we wrap up, I wanted to give you both an opportunity to share your websites and how people can find out about your works. It's so important and valuable.
Well, thank you. My information is available on my website, www.citrinconsulting.com, or you can Google me, Richard Citrin, and you'll find lots of great material. I've got videos and audios and other resources around resilience. And if you buy my book, you can go behind the curtain where I have a lot of additional resources for people to use.
Great. Thank you.
My website is www.SheilaKCollins, that's SheilaKCollins.com. I also have my TED Talk. You can get to my TED Talk through my website. My TED Talk is called When Death Threatens, Life Really Matters.
Thank you so much. Thank you both of you for being here today. And sharing this information. It was a really great show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a wonderful time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. And we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks. Stay tuned until then.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.